to Computer Chic. It's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. In fact, Brandon has taken the weekend off.
He's flown the coop.
He drove the coop, actually,
yes.
Up to Denver or something. But it's the rest of us data doctors in here. Ken Colburn, Michael Valdivia, and fill-in guest host.
Fill-in guest host Dave Winquist here.
Dave the Winky Man. Wink. No, we don't want to do that on the air. Mr. Winquist is here to fill
Winky.
In, if nothing else.
Yes.
All right, so we're talking about holiday resources. We are trying to help you if you've not used the internet in the past to help you during the holiday season, whether it's decorating, recipes, or gift ideas. One of my favorite cool places, and I've had a lot of people forget about the holidays, ask about how can I do this. You go on a trip. Let's say you go to, let's say, Africa, and you go on a safari.
Mm-hmm.
And you take these incredible pictures, and you have, what do they have out there? They have Gila monsters and, what do they got in Africa?
In Africa, they have lions.
Oh, yeah,
they
lions.
They have cheetahs,
yeah.
Rhinoceroses, hippos.
Oh, yeah. hippos.
Giraffes.
Yeah, a lot of those.
Stuff that we don't see around here
stuff
very often.
Stuff that we never right. see.
So let's say you take these pictures, right? And you want to share them with a lot of people, but part of the problem is, you know, a lot of email systems won't take larger photos. You got all these issues about who can take what and can they translate and I can't open it and all this.
Nonsense.
So there's a better way. You want to be able to give people access to these images, and if they really like them, let them print them themselves. Well, there's a great website called Shutterfly that does just that.
Very cool.
You can take all your family photos, your holiday pictures, pretty much unlimited, and stick it up on this website and then send the email out to everybody going, hey, check out my trip to Africa.
Yeah.
Right? And they can go there and see all the images, open them up, copy and paste them. They can print them. They can order actual real prints
mm-hmm.
from Shutterfly. And I think Kodak does a similar thing, but I think Shutterfly's got a little easier to use interface.
Does it take a long time to upload those, or depending on what you have?
Yeah, it would depend on the size
Definitely.
Of your picture and the connection you have. Of course, if you have what we recommend, the Cox High Speed Internet service, then it would be faster than if you did dial up.
Yeah.
But you can also, in past shows, we've told you about image compression programs that will allow you to reduce the number of pixels. So if you have let's say you have a hippopotamus and there's a lot of dark gray regions
yeah.
on this
Mass.
Image. If you zoom into the pixels, you can actually start removing pixels, which makes the picture itself, you can't see any difference.
Interesting.
But the file size changes because you've reduced the weight,
okay.
if you will, of the picture. You're starting to pull what they call redundant pixels out. So that the blacks are still black and the grays are still gray. It's just you don't need as many pixels.
Because it's the same shade.
Right. Now, the camera okay. captured a bunch of millions of pixels, but you only need, you know, half a million of them to be able to display the picture. So it's one-fourth the size it would have been if you do this compression. So that's
simple
one of the
stuff.
Things. What's that?
Simple stuff for the
yeah.
image user.
And if you just go to our website and look in past shows, we talk about image types and image utilities. Or you can just go to Google or any of those, your favorite search engine, and type in free image compression software. Or, actually easier than that, just go to webattack.com, look in their freeware section. There's all kinds of image graphics programs in there that you can get for free.
Cool.
Dave is on the line, actually has a suggestion for online web resource that we don't have on our site. We'll have to put it up there, though. Dave?
Yeah.
You had an interesting thought?
Yeah, for people who can read sheet music and like to do Christmas songs with their family, there's a Christmas songbook online that doesn't have any annoying advertisements or pop-ups or anything called ChristmasSongbook.net.
ChristmasSongbook.net. Of course, it's all one word for those of you keeping score. No spaces there. It'll
exactly.
It'll bong out on you. And I'm looking at it right now. There's 106 different songs on here.
Right, and those are copyright free. In other words, this is perfectly legal. It's not a Napster kind of thing.
Is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on there?
Oh, I'm afraid Rudolph might have copyright issues because that's a more recently written song.
Yeah,
wow.
Things like Silent Night, Oh Holy Night, Jingle Bells, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Lots of stuff that people know.
Hey, Silent Night. There you go. Yeah, and you click on it, and up comes the actual sheet music with all the notes and the words themselves. So, you know, if you're a karaoke type. Christmas karaoke at the Colburn House.
You betcha. And a MIDI file should load, and it'll like play the song so you could sing along.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Somebody with a lot of extra time there, huh?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. No problem. Hey, one other little resource that had to do with the newsletter, the CD
yes.
recordable thing.
Uh-huh.
I learned a lot from exploring your links there and reading your article.
Uh-huh.
And then I found one site that had a whole bunch of extra geeky information, and that was the CDRFAC.org.
Really technical stuff if you really want to delve
exactly.
into it. Yeah, absolutely.
CDRFAC.org.
CDRFAQ.
You got it.
.org. Dave, thanks so much.
No problem.
Appreciate it. That's how it works, folks. People,
Happy Thanksgiving.
People helping people. Users helping users. That's part of that. So if you've got an idea for web resources when it comes to the holidays, give us a holler, email in. Coming up here in the next segment, we will be opening the phones up for any and all of those computer questions you have. We got a whole bunch of emails. We got lots of questions about the CD info program that we wrote about. We've got questions about the safe mode boot tip that we had in this week's newsletter. We've got somebody asking a very common question about viruses. We got all this stuff. So coming up in the second hour, we're going to answer a lot of those questions. Robert, is it time for a little break action here? I lost. Okay. Actually, for the CD info group, there's a whole bunch of emails, people calling in or emailing us and saying, hey, I tried to use that CD info program and had various anomalies. The program in and of itself, we don't know of any issues. Anytime you load a program, folks, from anywhere, and it doesn't work properly in your machine, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem with the program, or it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem with your machine. Sometimes the stuff just doesn't mix. A lot of the people that are emailed in say they have Windows XP and they can't get it to go, or it's crashing their computers, rebooting. That typically indicates that you've got something else running in your system that this program is conflicting with. If you look down on your bottom right-hand corner, we call it the sys tray. It's right down there by the clock. You know, how many times do we see people with...
Loaded.
Yeah, just 4 million icons down there.
Basically a whole toolbar down there.
If any of them...
need to run all day long.
Yeah, if any of them are specifically... Like NCD is one of the programs that runs in the background. It allows you to treat your CD like a floppy drive.
Mm-hmm.
If that's running in the background, then another CD program like this, in the CD info program, when it goes to try to interface, it may end up having a problem because it's tripping up the other program that's running in the background.
Exactly.
That's there all the time.
Would Nero be a conflict with that?
Nero in and of itself won't, but now Nero tries to load the NCD and a bunch of... Yeah,
exactly.
Anything that's running in the background. So a little tip for those of you that are trying to run these programs, just float your mouse over the top of one of those icons, and it'll usually come up with what they call a smart tab that basically explains. It gives you a little explanation of what it is. It tells you a description.
What that program is.
If you think it has something to do with your CD player, right-click on it. Usually there's an exit or a disable or turn off or whatever.
Or
there's some kind of option.
Properties, and then it gives you that tab.
Right, sometimes. But if you're right-clicking on the actual icon itself down in the sys tray, it should give you the option to turn it off or disable
Just
it.
Just a simple exit, usually.
Right. And so you can try that to see then if the program, so you for that session, try the program, and if it works, then you know that's where the conflict is. The next time you restart your machine, it's just going to automatically reload those programs back. If you want to remove those things permanently, then you have to go to each program and figure out where the setting is, and it's different in every program, to remove it from the startup. There are some technical ways to do that, and if you're fairly technical, you can surf for msconfig information. msconfig allows you real quick to take the check marks off of programs that are in the startup, but again, you kind of have to know what you're doing. I don't like to send newbies in there because it can be...
It should be complicated.
Well, and you start going, oh, I don't need any of this stuff. Yep. You turn it all off and I'm like, my machine don't start no more.
Deleting some DLLs for no apparent reason.
You guys told me to do something I shouldn't have done. You know, again, we don't want to get you into brain surgery here on the air. So you're listening to the Computer Corner. Coming up in the second hour, we've got our Geek Speak of the Week. We've got our free download of the week. Maybe we'll do that in the next segment.
Sounds good.
And, of course, open phones from 11 to 11:45. Any and all of your computer questions coming up here. So go ahead and start filling the phone lines up, 602-277-5827. It's Ken Colburn and the rest of the Data Doctors. We'll be right back.